Golf Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by iBeCool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with iBeCool, stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection, and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. iBKUL.com. All you golf fans know that Will Zalatoris won his very first PGA Tour title last week in a three-hole playoff. And joining me now is Damon Goddard, Will's sports performance and nutrition coach. And Damon is a leading expert in golf performance conditioning and post-rehab and nutrition. And it's a pleasure to talk with you, Damon. Welcome to Talking Golf.
No, I'm honored to be on here. And thank you for the invite.
You and I met at the U.S. Open at the Country Club of Brookline, and you were working at the time with Jordan Spieth and Will and Davis Riley. And I know you have clients in other sports as well, but let's focus on your work with these golfers. If you could explain to my audience what exactly you do with these golfers and how helpful you can be to them.
No, I'll try to simplify it. My role in this entire golf performance spectrum, listen, these guys have so many members to their team now, and we all work in tandem. And so what I do from the golf side is I really want to make sure that the machine is operating optimally. And so we do that through strength and conditioning. We do that through recovery protocols. We do that through nutrition and monitoring a lot of the external variables that come into play for things that may inhibit their performance. And so my role is to continually be on task with the athlete in order to make them optimally perform every single week.
All right. Well, these guys perform every single week. It's a grueling schedule. And, you know, just in terms of Will Zalatoris, I mean, he's had three runner-up finishes in the majors. In the 2021 Masters, he finished second to Hideki Matsuyama. This year in January, he lost to Luke Liss in the playoffs and in the Farmers Insurance Open. He was so close. Lost to JT in a three-hole playoff at the PGA Championship, tied for second at the U.S. Open, and he finally emerged as the victor at the tournament, the St. Jude's Classic in Memphis. So first of all, you must feel so joyful for him because you've been part of his team for a while now, right?
No, I mean, listen, obviously I love to see the success of the athletes. And then, that's always a byproduct of the work that's always put in. It's kind of like what I always say to these guys is winning is just a little byproduct of the preparation that nobody sees, right? And to see Will in such a short amount of time have so much success within, a very short career on the PGA so far. A lot of people forget that it's just been, about a year, a little over a year, almost 2 years while he's been playing. And so this is actually a pretty quick little win. And the success he's had on it so far has been outstanding. And it's always fun to see. Listen, I'll take second places too. It's better than missing the cut. But to see him finally hoist a trophy, it was a very proud moment, something that I know he's been diligently working on and something that we've been, putting together as an entire team. And to see it come to fruition is just unbelievable.
So what exactly have you been working on with Will? Give us some insight, if you would, with, what these players go through on a day-to-day basis to be the best they can be.
Oh my gosh. I mean, so much goes into it. And a lot of people don't realize the, all the variables that come into play with these guys. It's, the travel, the new hotels, the nutrition, the hydration, the conditioning, the recovery stuff. A lot of it comes into play in order just to be able to hit a simple white ball into a hole as few times as the competition. With what we're doing with Will, we've had a concerted effort over this past year to year and a half of, we knew, he's got a, very skinny frame when he came in, and we are taking a look at, okay, I not only want success, soon, but I have to take a look at it, and the team has to take a look at the 15 to 20 year career that we're going to have with this guy. And so how do we prepare that athlete to reduce the risk of injury, number one, But to be able to withstand the rigors of just being a professional athlete. And so with him in particular, one of the biggest things we want to do is we actually wanted to gain some weight on him, right? And so that's, been a big discussion of, gaining 15 to 20 pounds with Will. But you got to realize that that's been over a good year and a half time frame, right? And so it just didn't happen overnight. By doing that via nutrition, via conditioning, being very concerted in our efforts throughout the year to, be able to push to the edge of the cliff, but not push over the edge to where he still can be able to perform day in and day out. And what we see on Thursday and Sunday, what we'd not realize is there's a lot of demand on these guys on, Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays as well. So, I mean, they're grinding week in, week out. Then they're going to have obligations when they come back home as well. And so take all that in consideration and we go, okay, how can I keep this machine operating throughout a very long year is going to be very paramount for us. So with Will in particular, he's done a phenomenal job of sticking to the program in terms of his conditioning program, sticking to all the recovery protocols, sticking to his nutrition as well. He's a very disciplined athlete, which, once again, byproduct of that is being able to get the second places and get the first places. And so that, you take an athlete like Will, who's very disciplined like that. It's nice to deal with an athlete like that.
Absolutely. I mean, I didn't realize he was 6 foot 2, and he's what, 175 pounds now?
Yeah, we'll undulate right now between 178, 175. Yeah, absolutely. And the key thing for us is trying to maintain that weight, especially in the, summertime. Especially with, being back to back with a lot of our tournaments as well. It's a grind to be able to maintain that weight, especially on a framework like that. A lot of guys in his line of business will lose a lot of weight during the, grind of the summertime. So for him to be able to stick to it throughout the summertime, but throughout the kind of tail end of the season as well, has been pretty awesome.
And so how do you increase that muscle weight with somebody like him?
With him, I mean, it's interesting because most of us have the concern of trying to lose weight, right? And it's not easy to get a guy like that to gain weight. But some of the things that we're going to take a look at, whether we're increasing his protein intake, we're increasing some of his supplementation. But quite honestly, and I don't want to simplify it, because to be able to elicit 1 to 2% of performance out of an elite athlete like that's not an easy task. But for our listeners and for you and I, and with a guy like Will, we really kind of pick on the low hanging fruit. And we go, okay, what are our sleep patterns looking like? What are our nutritional patterns? What are our hydrations? What are our stress management protocols? How are those looking throughout the day, and how are we managing that, right? And so literally anybody that wants to lose weight or even gain weight, if I've got poor quality of sleep, my body's just going to be wreaking havoc and not operating on a full tilt. So a simple thing like sleep and optimizing stress management and being concerted with my nutrition and hydration, those are low hanging fruit that I know we can accomplish. Especially for you and I and just everyday individuals. But for a guy like Will, if we can optimize the sleep patterns, get better sleep quality, stress management is much better. We put things into play to help stress management, really optimize the nutrition, then I know it's going to be a lot easier when we get the low hanging fruit to then get the high hanging fruit and get really dirty detailed in how we can increase weight or decrease weight or just really simply keep it optimized at an even keel throughout the year.
I mean, you have to look at so many different factors, and everybody's so individualistic, right? So what works for Will Zalatoris, who has a completely different body frame than, say, Jordan Spieth, they're so different. So each person has a totally different program, and you have many certifications in fitness, nutrition, I bet even psychology, because that plays into it as well, as far as stress release
Oh,
and all of
yeah.
that. So, I mean, talk a little bit about your background, Damon.
Oh gosh. So I've been in the sports performance world for about 23 years and been able to be able to work with the majority of that career with a lot of the PGA players, LPGA at the high level on the golf side. But I also dabble into the working with the professional basketball side. I had professional baseball. And I'm an avid learner anyways, and so to me, quite honestly, from the family background being all in academics anyways, really the moment that you stop learning is the moment you stop teaching. And so my thirst for continual pursuit of that education is, number one, I've got to do a great service to my athletes, especially if they're going to be number one, number two, number three in the world eventually. They're coming to me for precise information. So I need to be really sniper level with the information that I'm going to be giving these guys and girls. And so that's what's really the thrust to me is stay on top of the game academically in order to be able to then relay that onto the athlete to get them to the highest level as well. So just an avid learner constantly. And then listen, I love sports. I love being around athletes. There's just something to it. But it's not a simple thing of just hitting a white ball or shooting a ball through a hoop. These guys have a great opportunity to play a sport to then make an impact off of the course, off of the court, to really be able to impact a lot of lives. And I mean, let's not kid ourselves, winning helps that, and it gives them a better platform. I think that's more of the thrust behind why I do what I do, is to be able to get them to a level that they can play to then be able to make a bigger impact globally.
And you look at the physical stature of some of the top golfers in the world, and here Will Zalatoris is, as you say, I think you told me you helped him maybe put on 20, 25 pounds in the last year, and I guess the challenge is for him to keep that weight on, right?
Absolutely.
And then obviously he's used to being at a certain weight, so that's a lot of weight to put on for somebody, so you have to kind of. That might change his swing. It might change his tempo. I mean, you have to think of all of that as well, right?
For sure. And even conversely, when we're losing weight, that's why, we can't have these visions of grandeur where it's going to happen overnight. The body is absolutely beautiful, and it has this great ability to be very adaptive to whatever I'm introducing it to. And so whether that be losing weight or gaining weight, it has to be done over incremental time. And so, with visions of grandeur of saying losing 20 pounds in 3 months, it's probably not realistic. Gaining 20 pounds in 3 months, definitely not realistic. And so that's where, we will either gain the weight, have the body adapt, gain the weight, have the body adapt, gain the weight, body adapt. Same thing, same principle with trying to lose weight. But, when we're taking a look at professional athlete, there's a lot of what we'll call triggers, either from a mechanical standpoint, a nutrition standpoint, the toxins that were introduced, the site, you mentioned the psychological triggers, environmental, my immune system. There's a lot of triggers that will try to derail me from gaining weight or even losing weight. So we've got to understand how we can mitigate some of these triggers in order to stay at a good level for the machine to operate effectively. And so all of us really kind of need to take a look at that and go, what is around me environmentally, that may be a trigger for my body not to operate in an optimal way. Nutritionally, what do I need to kind of clean up in order to let my body operate effectively? Or even, functionally, my body, right? If I'm dealing with old injuries, well, maybe I need to go get those addressed so I can move efficiently. I mean, listen, movement is medicine. And so if the body can't move effectively, it's going to have an impact on the entire system, right? And so you got to take a look at that as an athlete. You go, all of my systems, I need to play well together. How can I optimize every system that we have?
Obviously, your goals include helping your clients perform at the highest level, but you're also reducing the risk of injury. So that's a fine line right there.
No, for sure. And that's why we're always very precise with our testing, and we're doing some mechanical testing, whether it be through movement efficiency testing. I always need to see how the athlete is moving in order to predict, where there may be tight, weak, or asymmetrical movements that are creating potential injuries. But even nutritionally, I got to take a look at a lot of the blood work as well and see what's going on in blood work. And so throughout the year, we're constantly looking under the hood to see how this thing is operating. And we leave things out of the guesswork world. I cannot guess with an athlete like this, and really for any client. I don't like guesswork because what may have worked with a Jordan definitely not, might not work with a Will, right? Or a Davis or one of my basketball guys. Because each one of us have a beautiful fingerprint of how we operate. And so all of our systems move differently. And so we need to take those into consideration. And that's why, getting with professionals that, whether that be a nutritional coach or a functional medicine doc or, someone that have a real hands-on movement specialist like myself, any kind of performance coach or, get very specific with, people that I need to see in order to then help me operate more effectively. And I think we try to fix a lot of it on ourselves when there's a lot of resources out there that we can use to help us operate very effectively.
Well, it certainly is working with your guys. Interesting, with your level of expertise, I'd love to hear your comments. Do you think Tiger, who suffered, so many back injuries and knee injuries and constantly, just one injury after another throughout his career, yet he continued to play and win? Is there any way, do you think, Tiger could have avoided these injuries that he endured?
Yeah, that's such it's a good question, and it's a catch-22 question, right? Could he probably have avoided a lot of injuries? Yeah, but we also have to take into consideration Tiger Woods' personality. Even in the gym, he wanted to go, go, go. In the on course, he needed to just attack, attack, attack on course, and so. It's interesting, you take the mindset of that and you go, well, if we had such a concerted effort to avoid a lot of injuries, would Tiger have been Tiger, right? And so it's a catch-22 question because you never know if he actually took a year off. And listen, he had great teams around him the whole time, but at the same time, there is an emotional income to a lot of people's operating mechanism. Let's say, for him, I mean, he loved to do a lot of Navy SEAL training. Is that good for the general public? Probably not. Is that good for a lot of professional athletes? No. But there was an emotional income from that then drove him to be the best out on the course. To say yes or no on that, it's going to be really difficult because those pursuits served the golf population really well, because look at look at Tiger. I mean, he's won so much and he's a legend on the, in the sport. So it's I think it actually served him well. Now, would it have created some longevity in his career even more so? Absolutely. But to see the guy still be able to get out on the course and give a good college effort on trying to play in a major, I mean, that's very notable. And just his presence alone in the sport right now is much needed.
Absolutely, especially coming back just a little over a year after that near fatal car accident for sure. Well, golf is a grind, no doubt about it. These guys play and women in hot and humid conditions. They walk a ton. They travel so much, a lot of air travel. I'm curious as to what your players drink and eat while they're on the golf course.
Oh gosh. Well, I mean, listen, we try to keep it as simple as possible. Is at minimum, these guys, girls need to drink about half of their body weight in ounces of water. That's at minimum. And so, we uptick quite a bit of the hydration. A lot of the guys and girls will like to use some electrolyte replacements, and there's some really good ones. The Live Pures. Out there, the Noons, those are pretty good. And so they'll uptick their hydration with the electrolytes when it's a very hot day. But listen, I mean, we're playing a sport that is not a crazy energy demand, where it's requiring any kind of Gatorades or any kind of Powerades or anything like that. In most cases, they have a lot of sugars anyways, and so we want to try to avoid that. So as a big rule of thumb, half of the body weight in ounces is at minimum. And then I like to uptick it, anywhere from 15 to 20 to maybe in 30 more ounces, depending on the weather. In terms of food, we try to get fairly specific with it. We're trying to avoid having a big glycemic response, right? A big sugar response in the body. And so what we try to do is pick the bars that have low glycemic response, meaning I need to keep the brain at an even keel and the body at an even keel and not have these crazy up and down roller coaster moments in my glycemic response to food. So we'll have, things like Quest bars or macro bars. We'll also have a lot of the, protein. So, some of the very organic jerkies we like, some trail mix. We try not to overconsume the trail mix standpoint, but we also have different things like different shakes throughout the round of play. So I'm a big fan of, the protein shake Cachaba, and it has a cascading effect of just amazingness, let alone just the protein standpoint. But what I'm trying to do essentially is maintain an energy level throughout the entire round. That I'm not having these up and down spikes. A lot of us, at the end of the round are completely tanked because we ate a Snickers and a hot dog at the turn, right? And so we're having this crazy glycemic response. And my brain's like, wait a minute, I didn't like that. And now I'm too busy trying to process the nastiness that you just put in. And so I like to keep a rule of thumb about every three holes, get a little bit of a nibble of something. And then at every hole, I'm trying to take at least five or six sips of the water, while I'm walking. And in general, I like to see about three different, four different bottles being consumed throughout the entire round. But hydration and nutrition, quite honestly, before the round is most important. So what I'm eating the day before, what I'm drinking the day before, what I'm drinking, eating that morning is going to be highly important. And then also using nutrition as a recovery tool as well. Post round, if I know I've got a weekend tournament, I've got to play the very next day, probably not a good idea to go consume the pizza, because I'm going to have a negative response to that, right? So I'm going to keep it a very balanced protein, fat, fiber, type meal. And so, consuming those excess, processed carbohydrates, things like that. The big thing though is that I would recommend is, be very mindful of trying to reduce the sugar intake. That's going to perpetuate a lot of the cellular inflammation, and we're just an over-sugared culture anyways. And so if we can start to avoid a lot of the sugar consumption, that's going to be a very clutch move in order to just be an optimal human machine.
Absolutely. As a country, boy, we all consume way too much sugar in processed food. If we can get away from that, that would be a good start, right? Well, I could go on and on with you, Damon, but I really appreciate your insight here. And if people want to learn more about you and your work with athletes, where can they visit?
Yeah, they can go to the website Goddard SPN, that's GoddardSPN.com, or go to the Instagram at Goddard SPN as well. And they can follow me doing all the fun stuff on tour and with my athletes. And every now and then I like to show my cute boys and my beautiful fiance on the Instagram as well. So they can keep up with all of that.
Well, continued success with Will Zalatoris and Davis Riley, and we're rooting for Jordan Spieth. He's one of our favorites and would love to see him get in the winner's circle again.
Absolutely. No, I appreciate the you inviting me, and this is always fun. I love talking golf and talking performance all the time anyways.
Damon Goddard, thanks so much. Golf Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by IB Cool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with IB Cool, stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection, and Icefield technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. IBKUL.com.